we've heard singing, we've heard testimonies, we've heard preaching, but the most important thing is, what do we do with it now? I mean, we're going to leave here, and I believe you guys come back and you guys have a Wednesday service. What are you going to do between now and Wednesday? What's the stuff that you've heard? I know this morning I was just contemplating on some of the testimonies I've heard, some of the different things that people said, and I was reflecting on those things. And, you know, what a joy to hear that kind of stuff. What a joy to hear those testimonies on those types of things. But let me ask you this. What has it helped you? What is it going to help you in the next few days? Those things that you've heard, the songs, the singing, the wonder.
Yeah.
You know, the testimonies that we got to hear last night of people getting saved or people seeking. What is it going to help you in your life? I know there's often something that I hear quite often. Most of the time, I want to cringe when I hear people say it. They say, "Well, I love Jesus," and I'm like, "Ugh." It just makes me cringe because I look at the people that are saying it and I go, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? Because look at God in his mercy has given us a test. So before the next time you say, well, I love Jesus so much, go in your Bible. And I want to talk a little bit about how much you think that you love Jesus. Because Jesus gives us some stuff to compare ourselves to, or to examine ourselves to, on how much we really think we love Jesus. Why does he do that? Because we lightly say those things. Yeah. Now, there are those out there who do believe that. They really do love Jesus Christ, and they have a heart for Christ, and you can see in their lives, even when they're struggling through things, you can still see they have the love of Christ in them. But then you look at most people who say they love Jesus, and you go, man, if that's the love for Christ, then why would I want that?
That's right.
But it's just such an easy thing for people to say, all the time you hear them in other churches say, well, how much do you guys love Jesus? And the whole church goes, yeah! And I'm like, oh, I don't even answer. I'm still under conviction from my Bible reading that morning, you know? But my goodness. If people love Jesus so much, then why is our world going to hell?
Right. That's right.
Why aren't there more people getting saved? Why aren't bars closing down? I mean, see, if we love Jesus so much, then why aren't people knocking on our doors wanting what we have? They're just not. Why? Because they're not seeing the love of Christ in us. And so, I love Jesus. You know, to love the Lord is to keep his word. At 1 John chapter 5. Go to 1 John chapter 5. To love the Lord is to keep his word. He didn't say to love the Lord, it's just to hear his word. You see, God says don't be just a hearer of the word of God, but a doer.
Right.
He's giving us instructions on, hey, if you love me. I often have people say, well, Brother Dale, how can I show God I love him? Keep his word.
Right.
Do what it says, and you'll show God how much you love him. You see, you love Jesus Christ as much as you'll live his word. If you live his word a little, then you love Jesus Christ a little, maybe none at all. If you love Jesus Christ a lot, then you'll try with all your human effort to live and do what he says.
Sure. Right.
Look at it says here in 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. It says, by this we might guess. That's the word know, K-N-O-W. By this we may know. So we know that something is about to be said that we can have an assurance of.
Right.
Doesn't say you might know or maybe at some point in your life. He says, no, by this you will know. This is something we can have an assurance of today, coming from the word of God. He says, by this you know that we love the children of God. How? When we love God. When, how do we know that we love God? And keep his commandments.
Right.
What's it say in the very next verse? For this is the love of God. What is the love of God? That we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous.
Yes.
Right.
And don't get any more plain in English than that, my friend. How do we show God that we love him? How do we show the love of God in ourselves? Is that we keep what he says and his commandments are not grievous. You see, when his commandments are grievous, it's because he's pointing something out in your heart you don't want to get rid of.
Yes.
But when you understand perfectly what he's trying to do and the reasons why he's trying to do it, you'll honor that commandment and you'll do it. Why? Because you want to be in right alignment with God. You want to show people the love of God. You want to show God, I love you and I love your word and what this thing that you're pointing out in my heart, I want to get rid of that thing. The reflection, my friend, look at me. The reflection on how you live your life is so easy to see. Especially somebody, maybe you share that, somebody who come from a poor family and didn't have much and then out there, you know, scamming and scheming and being a convict. I look at people differently. I don't see people like normal people see people.
That's right.
And I look around and I see the scheming in the churches and I see the people who are sitting there saying how much they love Jesus Christ. And it turns my stomach. There's times I want to jump out of my pew and go, you're a liar! You're a liar! You're a liar! Because you're not living the things of the Bible. You're not doing what God said. Don't sit there and say you love him. You filth bag. Man, ain't nothing more that gets under my skin than somebody sitting there, I love Jesus and won't do a thing in the Bible.
That's right.
How are you going to show? How are people going to know that we love Jesus Christ if we're not living his word?
Right.
That's what it says. To love the Lord is to keep his word. If we love God, what he says is not grievous because we understand he has our best interest in mind. Everybody looks at, well, God wants me to do this. Because he has your best interest in mind. You know, as parents, we think that we have our children's best interest in mind. But I'm telling you this, if it don't line up with the Bible, it's not the best interest for them.
Yeah.
It's real easy to want to change things in our life that are hard and grievous for us. But we have a tendency to forget about changing those things that are hard and grievous to a holy God.
Yes.
Right.
That's why everybody wants drugs and alcohol all their life, because it's hard and grievous to them. But then when God starts pointing out things in their life that he wants to get rid of their heart, it's too hard for them. They can't do it now.
Good.
The Bible says in Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13, it says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. Paul has learned by believing and doing what God said. You see, it takes a believing and then doing. If you believe what that King James Bible says, and I've done the word study on the word believe, if you believe what that Bible says, you will live it. It's impossible not to. Otherwise, you don't believe it. Why? Because in that King James Bible, when you believe it, it demands an action.
Sure.
Demands an action.
Right.
That means you don't have a choice.
That's right.
And here, Paul says in Philippians, not that I have respect of want, for I have learned. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and on all things. He says, I am instructed. Now he's made a choice to do what he's been instructed.
Right.
You see, he was instructed in those things. That means there was somebody teaching him, and I believe it was God. God taught Paul how to be abased. He taught him how to be abound.
Sure.
He taught him how to be content in all things.
Right.
He learned. Why? Because God gave him an instruction, and now he had a choice, and he said, I'm going to live it. You just talked about the faith being sawed asunder.
Mm-hmm.
That one being hung upside down on the cross. By faith they've done that. God told them that. If you have faith in me, I'll get you through all things. They believed that and they did it.
That's right.
So today, God tells whether it be through preaching, whether it be, do you know God speaks through testimonies?
That's right.
Do you know if you have the right music, that God speaks through music?
Right.
Then if you believed it, you'd live it.
Good.
That's the truth in the Bible. Oh, but I love God. I think sometimes we just say that way too lightly.
Absolutely.
He says, I'm instructed. Now he has a choice to do what he's instructed or ignore it. If he ignores it, he's defeated. You ever wonder why you're so defeated in your Christian life right now? Not doing what's been instructed. You have a choice. God said, here, this is what needs to be done. Bang, 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 bang. Now it's your choice to live it or not. God's given you a way out of many things in your life, whether it be for salvation or whether it be for that Christian walk. Now you have to make that choice. If God has given you an instruction in something, you need to do it. Then why do you cry out to God when you're in trouble? And he goes, hey, remember when I told you this? You go, God, really that? Yes, that. You just talked about it, Amy. God's showing you your heart the last week. And those things of the heart, how hard they are to change. You know, everybody's so hyped up about getting rid of the drugs and the alcohols and you're not going to prison anymore, not cussing out of the mouth. But I'm telling you, it's the things of the heart, my friend, that's the challenge.
Yes, sir.
That's right. And if you love Jesus, you'll let him get into the heart.
That's right.
You'll let him get in there. How does he say you do that? By the word. By the word of God. If you love Jesus Christ, you'll do what he says. And here's what it goes on to say. It's both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound, to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Now, I want you to see that word strength, and it has the ETH on the end of that. Why? He doesn't just give you strength one time. He strengthens you all the time if you allow him.
That's right.
You see, you have to allow Jesus Christ to strengthen you through those hard times. You have to say, look, Lord, I need your strength in this. This is a hard thing for me to face right now. I've got some things in my life that I'm facing. And I tell the Lord every morning when I'm praying, but I cannot do these without your strength. I cannot get through this thing that you're asking me to get through without your strength. Lord, you've told me to do this and do that. Do you know it's okay to pray his Bible back to him?
Yep.
And I'm not talking about in a prideful, flippant way. Oh. I'm talking about, Lord, mercy, that your words, what you told me.
Right, boy.
Help me in this thing. I need your strength in this.
Right.
And God wants to give us that strength if we'll just rely on it. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Right.
If you... You notice what? Just go do a word study on the word if. That's real big in the King James Bible. Why? Because God gives you a choice. If you love me, if you love Jesus, you'll keep his commandments. You'll keep exactly what he says. Here's what he says. Then love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and all thy strength.
That's right.
Then the second one is what? To love your neighbor as yourself.
That's right.
We can just stop right there because none of us love our neighbors like we love ourselves. Go ahead and buy them the clothes you buy. Go ahead and buy them the car you buy. Go ahead and give them the food you buy. And none of us are doing it. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's what he tells us to do.
Man.
Oh, I love Jesus. And treat your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
You know when God brought me and my wife's bell on that? I think, was it maybe 6, 7, 8 months ago? We had an old lady that lived across the street from us, Miss Janie, and she ended up dying. And God said, you know, she's in hell because of you and your wife, lack of being a neighbor that loved. And I mean, it tore us slap out the front. I said, oh my God, that lady's in hell today. And I was not the neighbor who loved her like God said I should. I didn't love her like myself. You know how I knew that? Because I begged God for my daughter, my son, my wife, my mother's salvation, but not once did I ever pray for hers.
Right.
Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, God. That's God right. Wants to puke when you say nonsense like that. Right. And you won't even pray for your neighbor's salvation.
That's right, Rachel.
Amen.
You know, here's what everybody does. Ready? Well, you know, I think as a church, we should take up an offering for... Why don't you go give the offering? Why's your church got to get involved in it? Why can't you go do it? Mm-hmm. Why do you have to wait for your church to take up the money? Sure. Why don't you go give the money?
Amen.
Oh, love the neighbor as you love yourself. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's what he tells us to do, but why don't we?
Right.
Oh, do we really love Jesus like we think we do? God help us. God help us.
That's right.
We need help, man. This is a reality. I'm not trying to give you some fluff and peanut butter. I'm trying to give you the reality, the truth of what we really live in our Christian lives and how disgusting we really are in God's eyes. Remember that girdle I started out with? Preaching?
Yes, sir.
How it's filthy and marred for nothing? That's us.
Yeah.
That's us. But yet we think that we're just living this, you know, good and holy life because we love Jesus so much. He loved Jesus so much, and that's funny. John chapter 14, verses 23 and 24 says this. Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will. He will. You know what that means? That means your will line up with his will.
Right.
He will. What's he say he will do? If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will. God and the Father said we will. Their will is, if you love them and keep his words, their will is to come and dwell in you. Don't we want that? Then why don't we love them more? Could you imagine God's will being this? As a saved person, draw a line to God and he'll draw a line to you. He's saying he wants to draw nigh to you. That's him in the Father's will, is to come in you. But you know what he says? Then you have to keep my words. Obviously, we don't want God enough to come and abode in us. We don't want his power and his strength enough to love his word. We might love it too much. We might love Jesus Christ just a little too much. And you know, what would people think if I really put myself out there like that? Look what he says. He that loveth not me keepeth not my sayings. Now, either this Bible is the truth or it's a lie. Because what he just said here, if you're not going to keep what he says, if you're not going to do what he says, then you don't love him.
That's right.
Hey, maybe that's you sitting in this room today. Maybe the whole thing is this. You don't love Jesus Christ because you do not do what that Bible says. Let me read that again, because it says, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings.
That's right.
Are you keeping the sayings? Are you out there trying to convince yourself, or maybe you're trying to convince your spouse or maybe some family members that how much you really love Jesus Christ, but yet they're not seeing anything that you live for Christ? Do you know there's a reflection that happens? When a person has Jesus Christ inside of them, and when they start living those things of Christ, people will notice that. That's why Romans 8:29 says that we're being conformed into the image of his dear son. We are going to look less and less like us and more like him. But today, people stay the same. They look like they've always been. You ever hear the saying, if it acts like the world, talks like the world, walks like the world, it's of the world?
No.
Then how can you claim Christ and that you love him if you act the same way you've always done, talk the same way you've always done everything you've always
right.
done?
That's right.
Michael, when I got saved, nobody had to tell me to read my Bible. Let me ask you this. How many people you think, how many times do you think Pastor John had to come chase me after I got saved to come to church?
Oh, no.
None. Mr. Methan's ready to shut that in.
I have
to outside of sickness or surgery, I've never missed a church service again. Why? Because that's who I am.
That's right.
It's not something I do. It's who I am with Jesus Christ inside of me. He's put that desire inside of me. That's my life. That's who I've become. That's who he's made me.
Right.
Autumn, do you have to get up in the morning and remind me to read my Bible? Pray? Why is it today that so many so-called Christians have to be told that? They have to be reminded that, or blown off church. Let me just say this. There's not a thing on this planet that's more important than church when the doors are open. Right. Nothing.
Right.
You didn't work. Oh, I worked. I told my work I wasn't coming. And if you have a problem with that, then I'll just go get a job somewhere else. Click.
That's right.
Am I lying, Amy? Click.
That's exactly.
Your money ain't worth me missing the house of God. I need to hear from God. I need to hear from that book. Why? Because I love Jesus Christ. I love that book. I love the preaching. I want my life to change. It ain't worth missing the house of God for, I can guarantee it. And let me ask you this. How much better has it made your life? Tell me, how much better has it made your life missing the house of God for work or whatever else it is? Tell me, how much better? He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father that sent me. John 15:9 says this, as the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. How do we continue in the love of Christ? Verse 10 says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. How do we abide in the love of Christ? Keeping his word. That's what it says.
Right.
If you're not abiding in the love of Christ today, because you're not abiding in his word. You're not loving and keeping what his word has to say. And he's got a lot to say, just in case you didn't know that. Oh, maybe you have it all figured out and you don't need it because you have so much knowledge. Let me tell you what God thinks about your knowledge. It's nonsense. God could care less about your knowledge.
Right.
Knowledge puffeth up. You know what knowledge does, Eric? It makes a person think they're something they're not. Mm-hmm. You go ahead and take your knowledge, Eric, and toss it out because it means nothing. Zero. I know you think it means something, but it don't. Nothing. Outside of that Bible, knowledge that you gain means nothing.
Right.
That's a reality. But how do you know that? Because God had to take all that nonsense out of my brain. Sure. So I could hear that word. You ever wonder why you're not hearing the word of God correctly? Because you got too much knowledge and God wants to strip that nonsense.
Right.
God has to bring a person who has knowledge down to a level where they'll finally hear him.
Right.
Until then, you're going to stay the same. You go ahead and hold on to that. That knowledge will put you right in hell, too. Mm. That's reality.
Right.
Brother Carl would know, watching men in and out of prison, I would take all this knowledge. I knew about Buddhists. I knew about Jews. I knew about Indians. I used to sit in their smokehouses and all that kind of stuff. I would read all these books on Muslims. I would just eat all this stuff up. And you know what I would do? With that knowledge, I would convince myself that I was something that I wasn't. I was trying to be something that I wasn't because I was taking that knowledge and I was feeding myself with it. And it wasn't until finally God stripped me of all things and I met a man who said, all you need is this. And he pointed out a King James Bible.
Right.
And it blew my mind. That's all I needed. Because I thought I needed everything else on this planet. And here the answer lied in the Bible and a man named Jesus Christ. Right. Who changed my life for eternity. Who took me from the gutters and put me up here today to be a preacher. A man who hated God. If you don't think I hated God, you go ahead and stare at my tattoos and the death and the destruction and the hatred. How many of you wrote songs about chopping Jesus Christ's mother up on a table of altar or sacrifice? How many? I did. Why? Because I hated everything about God. I hated everything about Jesus Christ. And I stand here today with the blood of Christ who's washed me and he's forgiven me for those things. Why? Because I said it's in the Bible. It's in Jesus Christ. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. All that other nonsense will get you nowhere.
Right.
Wonder why you're stuck in the same place you've always been. Too afraid to give up everything else for Jesus.
Right.
Jesus Christ said, if a man, that means if you will come to him, he says, if a man will come to me, let him deny himself.
Right.
Can he not take care of us? Yes or no, Amy? But it takes himself tonight. It's not about me and my wife. He says, you know what? Now you're going to live according to my purpose. Hey, you know what happened, Michael, when we got saved? We gave up our purpose. The precious blood.
Amen.
Right.
There was a price. And what was that price paid? The precious blood. And yet you spit at it with your knowledge. You spit at it with thinking you know better. You spit at it and you cast it off and say, that blood can't help me.
Right.
Oh, but it's so precious, right? I love Jesus. Exodus 26 said this, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Psalm 119, 103 says, how sweet are the words to my day, yea, sweeter than honey. And I said it the other day, you know, when something tastes sweet, you want more and more and more and more of it. That's why when somebody gets saved and they start reading that Bible, they want more. They can't get enough of it. Why is that? Hey, if you don't have that same desire in your heart for the Word of God, it's probably because you're not saved. It's not sweet to your soul. That word of God is sweet to my soul for the good or for the bad. there's sometimes it can be real sour because God's just pointing stuff out. But I tell you what, at the end of it, it's so sweet. It's sweet to come out the other side and say, thank you, Jesus, for getting me through that. Hey, stop praying God gets you out of things and pray that he gets you through them. That's what I tell those men in prison. You're too busy trying to ask God to get you out of something. You need to go through it and ask him to get you through it. You'll learn more going through it than you ever will coming out of it. Ever. Why? Because we learn better in our out of our comfort zone. You ever notice when you're going through something how more happy you're here to you want to hear God? You ever notice when you're going through something how much you want to read your Bible? You ever when you're going through something you want to fast a little more? And going to church means a little bit more to you? Do you think God wouldn't keep you there for that purpose then?
Right.
Sure he would. 100% he would. Why? Because when you're in your comfort zone, you shut God out.
Yeah.
You give him little bits here and there. He's tired of the little bits. It's either going to be fully everything or nothing. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my words. Do these things. Live like you love the word. Live like you know that without that Bible, you would have no clue what to do with your life. I know that's how I live. You give me a half hour without that Bible in my life, and I can show you just how terrible it is. People look at me and they see me for who I am today and they forgot where God has brought me from.
Right.
Let me tell you this. You don't want me to close this Bible up and walk away from it because you won't like what you get. That's just a fact.
Sure.
It's terrible. It's terrible. The problem is I understand where I come from. I know where God brought me from.
Right.
And if you grew up in church, you need to realize where God brought you from.
That's right.
Because you came from the same place I did. Do you know it took the same amount of blood to save you, Eric, as it did me? Do you know it took the same cross to save you as it does me? Ain't no difference in that. But people want to put a level on sin. God don't see sin like that. God had to teach me that too because there were things working in a jail and prison ministry. There were certain things that had to happen back in the day. Those things they weren't accepted. They weren't part of the norm, and we like to hurt people that way.
Right.
But God had to break my heart in that. And he had to show me, Dale, I died for them. And when I recognized that, I said, Lord, no longer will I judge that person, and I promise you, I do not. I don't care what crime it is. I now deal with their soul because that's what Jesus Christ wants to do.
Right.
Why? Because his word tells me that. You see, we want to put different levels of sin. We want to put them in categories and think, you know, we can bob and weave. No.
Try it.
Nope. Not happening. Look at Psalm 19. We're going to break these few verses down here, and then I'm going to close up with Psalm 19. Look at what it says here in Psalm chapter 19. I'm going to get there myself. Just pay attention. Psalm chapter 19. We're talking about loving God and how much we think we love him. And, you know, the litmus test. You know what a litmus test is? You put stuff on the end of a little thing and it tells you whether, you know, it's got this much in it or that much in it or whatever. That, you know, God has given us a litmus test for how much we love him, and it's called his Bible. You got to go in there and check what you really think, that you how much you really think that you love God, because he's got a litmus test in there for you, and he wants to blow you up. He wants to show you just how much love you think you really have for him, and how sanctify the Lord God in thy heart. How can you sanctify God in your heart when there's too much of the world, too much self-religion, too much self-righteousness, too much schooling, too much you know, worrying about your job? Where does God fit in all this? How can you sanctify God in your heart when there's no room left for him? But look what it says in Psalm 19 here. Psalm 19, and we'll start in verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect. How much? Perfect. That means there is nothing wrong with that. Other versions, I forgot the word they use there, but they give it where you think, well, there might be something wrong with that law. There's a word they use that makes you think there might be something wrong with the law. You know why? Because they're trying to give people a loophole. That's what those other versions do. This one here says it's perfect. That means there's no flaws in it whatsoever. It's done.
Right.
But the other verses try to make it come up with that there's a flaws in the laws of God. My goodness, if we ever start believing that, we're in trouble.
Right.
But that's what they're putting out there, guys. That's what they're putting out there. And look what he says, that the law, it converts the soul. And look, 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. How are we born again? By the word of God, the perfect word of God. People all the time come up to me and say, well, you know, when I got saved, I was reading the NIV. I'm like, you ain't saved then. Well, and then they try to argue and go through all this nonsense and rigor. I said, well, here, let me take you to this verse here in the King James Bible. And let me tell you what it says. It says the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. The incorruptible. If you can be saved, here's what they say. You can be saved out of those other versions, but you need the King James to grow in it. So what you're telling me is that we don't have to worry about having a perfect Bible. Any Bible will do, but you need the King James to grow. Are you kidding me? You need the King James Bible for salvation and growth. If you can get saved out of any other Bible, then nothing matters. We might as well just shut it down and be done.
That.
You can get saved out of any version you want, Mike, and all you need is the King James. You won't grow without the King James. How can you believe something like that?
That's right, Richard.
The incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Let's go on here real quick. The second half of verse 7 says, the testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. Isaiah understood this in chapter 50, verse 4. He says, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned. You see, Isaiah wasn't a man born to be able to speak wise things. But he says that since he got converted, that God was able to give him the tongue of the learned. Look at what it says here. And that I should know how to speak a word in the season of them that are weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. You see, Jesus Christ, his mouth got changed. The way he seen people, the way he dealt with people, the way he heard the word of God, it all changed. How? By the word of God, by the laws and the testimonies of God. It changed everything about Isaiah. And let me just tell you this, that King James Bible changed everything about Dale Morey. Now I go in there and I look at those men and women that are in prison. I don't judge them for what they're in there for. I tell them about Jesus Christ. I help them where they're weary. I tell them where they can get real liberty.
That's right.
Why? Because that Bible has changed me. It's changed the way I thought. It's changed my desires. It's changed the way I live. It's changed the way I hear. It's changed the way I walk and talk.
Right, yes, sir.
You kidding me? There's power in that thing.
Right. See things.
Oh, I love Jesus.
Man.
You love Jesus so much you stay the same person doing the same thing you've always been, but you love Jesus. Tell me, how's that working for you?
Good preacher. Glory to God.
Verse 8 says, the statutes of the Lord are right. Rejoice in the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. Let me just tell you, when God delivered me from drugs and alcohol and pornography and stuff like that, man, it gave me a rejoicing. But let me tell you, when he delivered me from the hatred and the bitterness, man, there was more rejoicing ever in those things. When he got rid of those things of the heart, man, there was rejoicing in that. I couldn't believe those things would left my heart. Everybody's worried about the outward. They'll tell you, hey, don't worry. As long as you stop drinking and do it, you're fine with Jesus Christ. You're going to go to hell with that.
That's right.
You're going to go to hell with that in your heart.
Yes, sir.
Luke 4:18-41 says, saying, what will that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. In verse 42, and Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all that people, when they saw it, they gave praise unto God. Notice it was the words of Jesus that spoke to this man that gave him sight. But not only physically, but spiritually. And he immediately followed Jesus. I had people there all night. Oh man, that so-and-so just got saved and, you know, he left that Sunday, but he hasn't been back in a month. What did it happen to that man right there when he got saved? He followed Jesus immediately.
Right.
You know what happened to me when I got saved? I started following Jesus immediately.
Right.
I didn't miss 3 weeks of church, four weeks of church, 10 years of church, 5 years of church. I didn't go back to drinking. I got to go get one more drunk on or go get one more high on. You know what happened to me? When Jesus Christ opened my eyes spiritually, He opened me up physically to be able to go to church, to drive around this country, hear preaching. Why? Because I wanted to be around the things of God. I wanted to hear the things of God. I wanted to live the things of God. It became something inside of me. Something started stirring in me. Something gave me a change that I've been looking for 40 years. 40 years this world left me in misery. 40 years of hell. 40 years on drugs and alcohol. 40 years in and out of prison.
But
Jesus Christ stepped in my life 11 years ago and He changed it.
Amen.
God put it all in.
You know what happened? Immediately.
Amen. I love it.
I didn't have to wait for somebody to get together in a conference and tell me how everything's all right.
It got all up in your business, son.
Woo! That man started following Jesus Christ immediately. You know what happens when a person gets their eyes open, they repent and get saved. No one has to tell them to follow Jesus. No one has to tell them to read their Bible or go to church. And notice this. That the people, when they seen the change, they gave God the praise.
Right.
Now today, it's why I led this man. I led this person. This person got saved. Everybody's putting that notch under their belt. They forgot about God who saved them.
Yeah.
Amen.
Could you imagine standing there before God, and God says, "Michael, why did you steal my glory? What answer do you have for that? Zach, a preacher? What answer would you have if God accused you and said, why, Zach, did you steal my glory?"
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're doing, Pastor. Mm-hmm. Guess what? They're okay with it.
Right.
It doesn't bother their conscience a bit. They will not hear God in that matter.
Right.
They will not hear God in that matter. My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
They're making people too foolish, children to hell. Right. You know what? Preachers can no longer preach people out of hell, so they preach them into it.
Sure.
Let me say that again. Preachers no longer have the power with the Word of God to preach them out of hell, so they preach them into it.
Right.
Why? It's the same place they're going.
Right.
Right.
Verse 9 says this, the fear of the Lord is clean. It's what? It's clean. My goodness, I never thought it would feel so good to be so clean. And I'm not talking about just physically. I've always been a clean person physically. My mother would beat the snot out of us living in Florida if we didn't take 2 baths when it was hot.
Good for her.
So I've always been a clean person. But let me tell you something. There ain't nothing like being clean on the inside. There ain't nothing like the blood of Christ coming in there and cleansing that inside. Oh, what a washing, man. There's nothing like the washing, the cleansing, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ to come inside to scrub that thing down.
That's right. Amen.
It's clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired than they of gold. Hey, my friend, if you got your eyes fixed on the things of gold, you got your eyes off of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Why? Because it says that we should desire the things of God more than gold.
Right.
Right.
Oh, I love Jesus, but my bill's got to be paid. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can't fail.
You can't. You can't. That's a reality. You're right. He can't pay your bill. You know what? Because you don't believe it.
That's right.
If you believed it for 1 minute, you'd have no problem stepping out on that.
He broke. Poor, pitiful little guy.
How do you know that? Let me just say this. Since me and my wife have been called, my wife and my family are part of my ministry. God called us as a family. I don't travel around as a man on my own without my wife.
That's right. Amen.
God called my family into a ministry. Now I'm responsible for it. My wife doesn't have to do ministerial work or nothing like that. Her ministry, thank God for Miss Ruth Ann telling my wife this, told her, your ministry, Miss Amy, your part in this is your husband. And my wife took that to heart, and she has been an absolute helpmeet to me, second to none.
Good.
Man.
God in His mercy gave me the wife that He knew that I was going to need to be my backbone to help me through this. I didn't grow up doing this kind of stuff. I didn't grow up standing up there in front of people. I didn't grow up and having the responsibility. Imagine God has given an old convict, an old drunk, somebody who's out there a thief and out there robbing people and doing all. Now God has put me in charge of a ministry and a family.
What about that?
I don't know how to do that stuff. My father does.
Yeah, he does.
You see, it takes you getting rid of you
Amen.
And allowing God to get in the way. Allowing him to get up there in the front. And allowing him to take over. And allowing him to do these things. And you know what it says? More to be desired than gold. Yea, much fine gold. I would sit there and I would be asphyxiated. And how are we going to do this? And how are we going to do that? And how are we going to do this? And how are we going to do that? God said, okay. And he ripped the rug out from me and my family. He says, now you're going to have to learn how to trust me.
Good.
And he took everything from us. I mean, it was brutal.
Sure it is.
We had nothing. We didn't even know how we were going to eat. And Paul said this, that he was called. Everybody has a calling on their life today. But what they're missing, Paul says, is they're separated unto the gospel. You see, there may be a calling in someone's life, but until God starts separating you, what does that mean? That means he's going to start putting you things and allowing you to go through things that's going to separate you for that ministry that he has called you to. Ms. Mumford, how can I ever say I understand what it's like to never be able to pay bills if I can always pay my bills? So God ripped that rug out from underneath me and my family. And we couldn't pay bills. You know, we had the trust on God. There was a time that Carl, some men in the jail needed Bibles. We had a few dollars left in our bank account. And I took my family, the four of us, and we sat around the table, we held hands and we prayed.
Right.
And said, Lord, what do? We have some money to be able to go get some food, or those men need some Bibles. And the Lord impressed on my heart, you go ahead and send them Bibles in. You think, oh my gosh, God must have poured it out on you. No, he did not. He poured zero out on us. One thing that happened, my kids got to see our faith.
That's right.
My kids got to see how we're going to handle these situations. Number two is those men got the Bibles. Exactly what God wanted to happen. Number three, we got to learn to go without until God provided.
Amen.
That's hard. Because remember, God had brought me from that place already as a child. And then when I met my wife, we did pretty good money-wise. And then God dropped me even lower than I've ever been. Why? So I can go to those people and say, I understand what it's like not to be able to buy food. I understand what it's like not to be able to pay bills. I understand what it's like to go through those things that you're going through.
Right.
You see, there's a separation. Well, how much do you love Jesus when he starts separating your life for something?
That's right.
That's what he does to him. When a man's going to be used, God is going to separate him. He's going to call him and then he's going to put a separation on his life and it's going to be hard. But you know what he's doing? He's preparing you for the people that you're going to go work with. Because you know what? Every one of us have people in this room that only will ever listen to you. And you keep passing them up. Carl, you can walk up to a person and say something and it'll touch that person's heart. That man can go walk up and say the same thing to the same person and never move them.
Right.
God designed it that way. He's got to prepare you, separate you for that calling he's put on your life. And I'm not talking about you being an evangelist, Mike, or being a preacher. I'm not saying you have to be that, but you have a family. And you got a family beyond just your children. You have people at work. You see, God will separate you for that, buddy. Because you may be the only Jesus they ever see.
Right.
Just reality. Doesn't mean everybody has to be called to a ministry, but there is a ministry for a person, whether it be cleaning. You know, my first job was cleaning toilets. That gross. At McDonald's. Overnights. Basically, I did. That was one of our duties in prison. So, but. Look, I ain't gonna tell you the stories I used to come and tell my wife on the stuff that you find in McDonald's bathrooms. I know it. All right, but that's where I started out. Started out there. And you know what God did? He raised me through that.
Right, preacher.
He raised me. He trained me through that. And through that training, more things came. People spitting at me. Now you don't spit at a person. When you're in prison, you die for that. Call somebody to your private parts, you'll die for that in there. Hit somebody with a broom or mop, that's an ultimate disrespect. All those things started happening to me outside.
How about that?
And the first thing I thought of was, how do I handle this? I have Jesus in my heart.
Right.
Lord, I can't. I can't do the things that I used to do. And I would run out that back door and I hit that garbage can. Bang! Bang! And I would just punch on that garbage can and say, Lord, I can't. And man, they'd come through and they would throw hamburgers at me. And man, they would spit at me. The door would close just in time for it to hit me. And I'm like, ah! And I'd come home, ask my wife, I'd come home in tears. I said, I don't know how to handle this. How do I handle this? I don't know how to handle it the way I used to. I can grab him by the throat and choke him out. But what's that going to do for anybody?
That's right.
Right.
All along, God was training me how to go to jail and handle those very things being done to me again by an inmate.
Amen. Right.
And if right. I didn't learn it back at McDonald's, God could have never opened the doors for me to be in a jail and prison to handle it because I would have handled it wrong. How much do you love Jesus? You see, God had to separate me. And I had to come to a point in my life where I started loving that Bible more than I loved myself.
Right.
And I wanted the will of God for my life, Zach, more than I wanted the will of God for myself. You know what that took? Some pretty hard stuff, and still, when I go in prisons and jails today, every bit of respect is earned by blood, sweat, and tears. I don't go in there expecting nothing. I know what I have to do for those men. I know what I'm going to have to go through. I know the price I'm going to pay. But man, is it worth it?
Yeah.
It's worth every minute of it, man. Why? Because the one day I'm going to stand there before Jesus Christ and I'm going to be able to look him in his face and say, I love you. Mm-hmm. And I thank you for giving me that Bible. I thank you for challenging my heart in these matters.
Right.
Amen.
I'm almost done. You just hang out here one more minute. He says, moreover than gold, yea, much fine gold, sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is the servant warned. He's telling you, God is warning you through his word. He's given us a warning. People say, why didn't somebody just tell me? Man, the Bible told you already. Right. If you get in there, listen.
Right.
So many Christians complain. Well, why didn't somebody just warn me? Oh, so you're not reading your Bible. You're going to look for that comfort in man? Mm-hmm. God warned you already not to do those things.
Sure. Yeah.
Not to say that or do that. Well, you know, because I know there ain't no excuse. You show me one place in the Bible, God says, I want you to do this, but only if this and this and this is happening. God does not put stipulations on his book. He says, you'll do this, done. Honor your father and your mother.
Good.
When I got saved, the very first thing God challenged me was honoring my mother. I said, there's no way I could ever honor that woman. Zach, show me. The times that's in the Bible, show me where God put a stipulation on if my mother treats me right, then do that to her.
Right.
Show me.
Right.
Never.
That's exactly
never.
Right, sir.
Never. I don't care what they've done to you. He does not put a stipulation on that. If you're a child of God and you love Jesus, then you must do what he said. And you know what he told me to do? Learn how to honor your mother.
Right. Right.
How much do you love Jesus today? How much, if you've had an abusive parent, do you love Jesus when he tells you to honor that woman regardless?
Right,
right.
Am I right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, we love Jesus. You have no clue. You have no clue unless you're living that word. And thank God for his mercy. He's taught me and still teaching me how to honor my mother because it's been a hard road. It's not been easy. I don't have an S on my chest. I'm not walking on water. I'm not Superman. I need his strength to get me through that, though, because he's not giving me a stipulation. He says, you will learn how to honor your mother. And through that, I finally am learning how to love my mother.
Good.
Gosh, when things go wrong with my mother, I'm starting to feel bad for her. You have to understand, I didn't feel bad for my mother. Just 11 years ago, Carl, I would look my mother dead in her eyes and tell her I'll stomp her guts out how much I hated her. That's what I did to my mother. Do I do that to my mother today? No matter what she does to me. But I'll tell you, you want to talk about an abusive woman? I'm 51 years old getting abused by my mother. But you know, he doesn't say honor her if she's doing the right thing. Okay? That's hard.
Right.
Not true. You're 51?
55, and I'm still getting abused.
Yeah. But it says, verse 11, it says, by keeping them, thy servant is warned, and the keeping of them is a great reward. Who can understand his errors? How can you understand your errors? You cannot, he says. Cleanse thou me from my secret faults. There are errors in you. There are things inside of you you don't even know are in there.
That's right.
Proverbs 20:27 says that God has put a spirit in every man. And that spirit, small s spirit, the spirit of man, is a candle that God put in there to light the inward parts of the belly. Those very things that you don't want to go into. Those very things you don't even know are there.
Right.
He's trying to light them up and show you. Everybody always falls back onto the same thing and it drives me nuts. Stop falling on the things that God has already shown you. He's trying to show you things you won't see. The things you don't know. He's trying to light that up, but here's the problem. When God starts lighting it up and it becomes very painful, you go ahead and just face it. How much do you love Jesus now when he tells you to face that? Well, Zach, because you believe that Bible, I'm going to cut you in half. What are you going to do? Are you going to renounce or are you going to be sawn asunder?
That's right.
How much do you? John the Baptist, Jesus Christ's own cousin, out there preaching, goes to prison, tells a man exactly what he is, gets cast in prison for him. Jesus Christ is walking earth. He's still healing. John says, hey, go ask Jesus this question, you know, if he's the one. The message comes back, yes, he's the one. Do you know what happened to John the Baptist? He got beheaded. Guess who was walking on the earth as he got beheaded?
Jesus.
He didn't come rescue him out of prison.
Right.
He let his head get cut off.
Mm-hmm.
How about that thief on the cross? Mm-hmm. Today thou wilt be with me in paradise. Jesus Christ dies. Where's the thief? He's still alive on the cross. They had to come and break his legs. Jesus left him on that cross. But you know what? None of them were worried about the things of this earth. They were, had their minds fixated on the things of heaven.
Right.
That's why getting their heads cut off, and that's why down on the cross didn't bother them, because they had their minds fixated on Jesus. How much do you love him? If he leaves you in a situation where you may even die, how much do you love Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
How much do you love his word? That's his challenge to you today. You always say how much you love Jesus. Well, when this thing starts, if you think for one second that God is ever going to bring that challenge to you, because he knows that you won't even listen to him by keeping his word, why would he bring a challenge to you that he knows you'll curse his name? He knows your faith ain't fit for that. He knows your love for him ain't fit for that. Look at it. Three verses I'm going to read and I'm done. John 8:43 says, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. John 8:47 says, he is of God. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Matthew 13:14-15 says, and in them is fulfilled the prophecies of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I shall heal them. Heal them. My friends, the challenge is, how much do you think you love Jesus today? He says, if you love him, then you keep his words and you keep his commandments. And what does that mean? That means do them. Have them in your heart. Hide thy word in their heart and may not sin against thee. That doesn't mean just look at them and study them and just put them in the back of your brain and go on living any old way you want. No, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You know what that word keeps me? That means if I take this thing and I hold it here, now I'm keeping it. Everywhere I go.
That's right.
Pastor John told me something many years ago, and I'm done. He said, Dale, learn your Bible so you can preach it in a concentration camp without a Bible.
Right.
How many of you are learning your Bible so that you can preach it in a concentration camp without a Bible? Oh, I love Jesus. I love him so much I'm going to learn it so I can help somebody else if I do go to a concentration camp. Is that what you're saying? Why is it so hard to study? Why is it so hard to even get a reading in? He said this, one last thing, he said this, he said, you'll never find time for reading. You have to make time.
That's right.
Make time for the Word of God. If you love them, make time to keep it.
That's right.
Make time to memorize it, and here it is. Make time to live it.
That's right. Good. Is that good?